You know, one of the things that's really quickly amazing about this city is the view. I don't know. I've traveled a lot, as you can imagine. And I've seen, as a matter of fact, I've been in all of the top 50 cities in the U.S. I've been in 32 different cities around the world. But I can tell you, I don't know that I've ever seen a more beautiful city than Hong Kong. I don't think that I've ever seen a place with the view of Hong Kong. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to go up to the peak this afternoon and get the full view of Hong Kong. But earlier in my trip, we were fortunate enough to be taken out on a boat and see Hong Kong at night from the water. It was overwhelming how the beauty of this city and the view that we had. You know, views are really interesting, right? Because no matter if it's at a ball game or at a hotel or you're on vacation or you're on a hike up the mountain, everybody's trying to find a great view. We love a good view, don't we? I mean, it's so interesting. I was thinking about this views that I've had here. But views are really interesting. They break down into five kinds. So I'll kind of, here we go, I'm a coach now, so I have to break things down really clearly. That's what coaches do, right? So when you think of views, you think of these kinds of views you can have. So you can start out where you can have no view. In other words, I have no view. I can have a block view where I can see around it. I can have a distorted view, a view where I can see through it, but I can't see clearly. I can have a better view where I can see here, or I can have the best view. Now, I got to tell you, I got the best view right now. Because I'm looking at some really good-looking people out here, okay? And so in a typical, I picked this up from my brother P. Sam here, in a SP tradition, turn to your neighbor and tell him, you look good. No, you got to elongate it. You got to say, you look good. Yeah. So I have the best view, but really, seriously, we got some baseball fans right here, baseball family. And if you're a baseball family and you're a baseball fan, the view you want is where? Right behind home plate. Why do you want the view behind home plate? Because you can see the whole game. You can see everything. So we're all very interested in this concept of a view. But the scriptures, there's an account in the scriptures that I believe is the most profound teaching about the importance of our view of what we see. And let's open the Word of God together. Can we do that real quick? Let's open up to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And it begins with this account. Luke writes, and he's talking about Jesus. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able to because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up to him and said, Zacchaeus, hurry down. Come down, because today it is necessary for me to stay at your house. So he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. And all who saw it began to complain. Oh my goodness, he's going to stay with a sinful man. But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, Lord, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay it back four times as much. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that was lost. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we ask you now to bless the reading of your word, and that you would open the eyes of our heart to the truths that you might have for us today from your word, from this exceptional, amazing account of Zacchaeus and Jesus. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, so here we go. I told you that this is the best story about a view that I could find in the Bible for many, many years. And it's fascinating because three things happen very quickly in this short passage. Three things happen. The first thing that happens is we read in the account that Zacchaeus had this desire. It was something in him that wanted to see Jesus. He had a longing in his heart to see Jesus. We would know that. We experience that in our own lives. We desire, as followers of Christ, to see Jesus. Open the eyes of my heart so I can see you. We still, just like Zacchaeus, have this nature about us where we want to clearly see our Savior. We want to see Jesus for who he is, in his fullness, in his richness, in his mercy. We want to see him. We want to see him. So Zacchaeus has this desire where he wants to see Jesus, but he's got some problems. And and traditionally, we would all remember as children, probably reading this story, traditionally, we would see the problem Zacchaeus has in seeing Jesus was his stature. We would think that because it says maybe he was a short, that he couldn't, or maybe he couldn't see around him. Remember, he had this blocked and distorted view and he wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't. There were things in his way. And it's really not just his stature. It's this concept that one of the things that could cause us to not clearly see Jesus is this idea that we don't have what it takes. We don't have all the things that we should have. Athletes have that problem all the time, right? They battle this idea, do I have what it takes? But it wasn't just his stature that was his problem. There were two other things that are not talked about very often in this story. Two other things there. The second one was he was a tax collector. Oh, if we said Bible trivia, who is the tax collector in the Bible? Who everybody would say? Matthew. Who was the second one? Yes, all of a sudden we find the second tax collector, and we know clearly what the thought around tax collectors were in that culture. As a matter of fact, not just his stature, it could have been his status. It could have been this idea that, again, the world is full now of all these influencers and different things that tell us that we need to be something. We need to be this, you need to be that, you need to have... In other words, his stature as a tax collector was a problem. It was a problem for him. But maybe it wasn't just his stature or his status. Maybe it was also his security. What was he putting his hope in? What was Zacchaeus depending on? Because the scripture says that Zacchaeus was what? He was rich. Now, it's not the money itself, right? It's the love of money that's the problem. But the point is that Zacchaeus... Take the full picture of Zacchaeus. He has multiple things in his life that are causing him to not be able to see Jesus. But he has this desire to see him. Has this unbelievable desire to see him. It's interesting, though, is that what does Zacchaeus do? He's so motivated to see Jesus that he climbs a tree. Now, in America, in the United States, kids climb trees all the time, climb trees, try to see. But Zacchaeus, he has these issues, but these issues are not going to get in his way of being able to see Jesus because he wants to see him so bad that he climbs a tree. Well, what happens? He gets his eyes fully on Jesus, and the minute that Zacchaeus gets to see him, something radically happens. Literally, as soon as he gets up in the tree, something radical happens. Jesus says, come down. Now, if one of your children were up in a tree, you would, as their parent, you would say kindly, right, get down out of the tree, okay? Come down out of this tree. You need to come down out of this tree. So Jesus says to Zacchaeus, kindly, hey, come down out of the tree. So the minute that Zacchaeus got to see Jesus, he got to meet him. You know, it's interesting, that moment in which he finally got to see Jesus immediately led to meeting Jesus, to an encounter with Jesus. Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. You could just see, can you imagine Jesus actually seeing Zacchaeus up in the tree? I mean, think about it. I mean, just be Jesus for a second. He's walking down the road. Look, and there's this guy up in the tree. He's like, wait, come down out of this tree. So Zacchaeus comes down out of the tree. Fascinating thing. You know, something happens, though. Remember, there's these things in Zacchaeus' life that are keeping him from fully seeing Jesus for who he is. The second thing that happens, though, once he can see him, he does why? He gets to meet him. But you would think, man, because Jesus says, hey, come down. I need to go to your house. I need to go have a meal with you. I need to eat some Peking duck with you. Come on, man, let's go. Something again happens that is so, it is so reflective of life with the Lord in all of history. As soon as he gets on the ground and he meets Jesus, the enemy goes to work just like that. Because what happens then? Scripture says that those around begin to what? Complain. Murmur. Oh, this, and Zacchaeus is hearing this. He's hearing this, right? The enemy's whispering in his ear through all those people that are around going, remember your stature, remember your status, remember that. He's, and it just complaining going on. And it reminded me, I pause for a second. I told you I was in Tokyo. So when I was in Tokyo, Angel and I got to literally go to a sumo wrestling match. I mean, we were in the building with these sumo wrestlers, okay? And so, you know, sumo, it's really pretty simple, right? There's two wrestlers. And the goal, I was sitting there thinking about talking to you guys, being here, and I'm watching these sumo guys. The goal of sumo is very simple. What is it? For one guy to do what? Knock the other guy out of the ring. That's all Satan wants to do. That's all he wants to do. Once Zacchaeus got in the ring with Jesus, once he got in there and got to meet him, what did the enemy begin to do? He got down in a good sumo stance. You guys watch sumo? He did. Okay, I'm going to try it. Okay, here we go. Okay, we get down in this good sumo stance. You know, I don't even know what they're saying to each other, but it sounds pretty violent, I'll be honest with you. Anyway, and then you got this referee right here. It's like, you know, doing it really slow. And this guy's like, rah, boom. Does everything he can to knock his opponent out of the ring. And isn't that such a great analogy, a little parable there of what the enemy's trying to do with us? I mean, he can't really defeat us, right? He just wants to do what? He wants to knock us out of the ring. He wants to get us off balance. He wants to tell us that we're not who Jesus says we are. So, moving a little quicker. Here we go. So, Zacchaeus, he gets to see Jesus. By seeing Jesus, he gets to meet Jesus. And once he gets to meet Jesus, although the enemy's doing his very best to knock him out of the ring, that's not the end of the story, is it? He not only gets to meet Jesus, Jesus says, what? I'm coming to your house. Salvation has come to this house today. He gets to experience Jesus. He gets to live in fellowship. He gets to be across the table and dine with the Lord of the universe. Just like we do. Just like we do as followers of Jesus. We get to live now in this journey of this Holy Spirit community of believers, existing in fellowship with each other through the power of the Spirit and hoping in the promise of eternity with him. He got to see him, he got to meet him, and then he got to experience him. Now, it's great, right? It's great. You're like, oh, that's good. End of the sermon, let's sing. No. What I love about this is that we would agree in this room that we all desire on a daily basis to see Jesus, clearly, right? We would want to see him. We would agree in this room that there's a world and a generation of children growing up in this world who have some issues. The issues are this, that the enemy wants to do what? To block, to distort, to change the view of Jesus. I mean, we all have these electronic devices now where there's a term in all cultures, influencers, people whose voices are trying to do exactly what the enemy's voice did to Zacchaeus, and to try to create for a generation of children a blocked or distorted view of our Savior. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, what did Zacchaeus do? Here's what we do. Here's what we need. All the things in the story are so profound. Jesus is there. Zacchaeus is there. The disciples are there. The enemy's there. The little known character in the story is the tree. You see, here's what we need. Here's the answer. Here's what our responsibility is we need some trees. What we really need is something, someone, something that a generation of people, a world, can climb up on and they can see Jesus. Because if they can see him, they can meet him. If they can meet him, it changed their life. So this tree, this simple little sycamore tree, tucked away in that story, becomes the most important, profound tool that helped Zacchaeus see Jesus. As a matter of fact, it goes this. I'll read this to you. I have three questions. Okay, here's the three questions. First, now get ready for this one. Who was your tree? Second question, whose tree will you be? Third question, how many trees will you leave? Let me say these three questions again, because we need to unpack them for just a second. One, who was your tree? Two, whose tree will you be? And three, how many trees will you leave? Now let's start with who was your tree. Here's what we'll do. 30 seconds. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to see the face of the people, person, who was your tree. Who was it in your life, and you thank the Lord for him right now? Maybe it was your mother. Maybe it was a grandparent. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a coach. Maybe it was a teacher. Who was your tree? Who helped you to see Jesus? Praise the Lord for them right this second. Amen. Pretty cool, right? If we just went around a room right here and just started calling out names, people, who was our tree? But then there's a second question. Whose tree will you be? And that's an interesting question, because it requires us to think about how we function as a tree in our home, in our businesses, maybe just at the coffee shop tomorrow morning when you get your coffee and you smile and greet a person. Our words, our countenance, our attitudes, our actions, the way we steward our resources and our time, all of it is a part of God forming us into a tree that allows our families and our friends and our coworkers and the people that we will never know their name, but they interacted with you in a way that caused them to go, there's something there. Just like Zacchaeus, I need to do what? See Jesus. To see what it is that makes you who you are, that makes you, that helps drive your decisions, that when somebody cuts you off in traffic, you know, you don't blow the horn. You're just different. Whose tree will you be? You see, at the end of the day, in that just beautiful little scripture, this little tree was the difference maker. And I believe for all of us as believers today, it's important that we realize whose tree will we be. We talked about this generation, the young people, some are in the room, some have gone, but no generation, no group of children in the history of the planet have more difficult time growing up than the generation we have right now, because of all the things that work against them I often think about the there's nothing new under the sun. It's not that there's new ways to do bad things or new bad influences. The difference is the pace and the volume and the amount of those things that our children around the world are trying to navigate. And they desperately, desperately need a tree that they can climb on and see Jesus for who he really is. So, who is your tree? Whose tree will you be? How many trees will you leave? Charles Spurgeon, many of you may have read some things by Charles Spurgeon, a very famous theologian. He's a great preacher. He says this, "The Bible is actually not the light of the world. It is the light of the church. The world does not read the Bible. The world does not read the Bible. The world reads Christians. You are the light of the world." And I never really thought about that, right? That we're what gets read. It's us. We're the people. We are the light of the world, and the world reads us. So lastly, kind of wind it down, is how many trees will you leave? I think about SP, and I think about this church, and I think about your place of work, and I think about the sports field where you'll be in just a little while today, and I think about all the places that we have the opportunity to pray, to serve, to give, to invest ourselves in. You know, places like our churches and our workplaces, places where we can plant trees that nobody will ever know, really, who planted that tree, because the thing about how many trees will you leave is the person who planted the tree that Zacchaeus climbed up on, they're not in the scripture. We don't know who they are. You know, it'd be interesting in heaven. You wonder if Zacchaeus ever got hooked up or met the person who planted the tree. He's like, "Hey, man, I'm so glad you planted that tree. That was probably the only tree within 3 miles. You know, it was like one little sycamore tree that he, can you imagine how profound and how meaningful as Zacchaeus thought about his life, that he was able to climb up on a tree that somebody else had planted. So, SP, who is your tree? Whose tree will you be? And how many trees will you leave? As I looked and I was praying over, reading about your church, it was so profound that your mission statement, to know him, to be like him, and to make him known. What a great tree planting strategy. I love it, man. You guys, hey, if you truly embrace that as a body of Christ, you're going to plant a lot of trees. You're going to put a lot of trees in the ground. And you're going to put them in the ground in your home. You're going to put them in the ground in your businesses. You're going to put them in the ground on the ball field. You're going to put them on the ground at the coffee shop. You're going to put them in the ground everywhere. And a bunch of people that have no idea who planted that tree is going to climb on it. And they're going to see Jesus. And then they're going to meet Jesus. And then they're going to experience Jesus. And then their life's going to be changed forever. And praise the Lord, we get to be a part of it together. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, SP. Be a tree. Plant some trees. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you this morning. I'll pray and we'll move on. So, Father, so simple. Jesus, your heart was to take the truth and give it to us so simply. And so today, Lord, we simply ask that we would never forget. We will never forget those who were our trees. And because we never forget them, it'll motivate us to be a tree ourselves. And because we're called to be a tree, we will endeavor to our time, our talents, our resources, our lives, to be leaving as many trees as possible. Thank you for this church. Thank you for P. Sam and Lisa and the leadership. And thank you for this body of Christ that desires to know him, to be like him, and to make him known. Lord, would you bless them to leave the most trees that we could ever imagine. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Shane. Let's rise to our feet. And what an inspiring message, huh? It all starts in that place of worship and devotion. So I just invite you to just close your eyes. And while you're thinking about all those people in your life that was that tree, as we sing our closing song, let's also sing with such incredible gratitude. Lord, thank you, God, for all those people. Now, even when Shane was speaking and he had to do the exercise, I was getting very sentimental. I was thinking about the people in my life. And then the great opportunity that God gives to each one of us, that we could be that person for somebody else. And so as Cardia leads us, let's just worship with full of thanksgiving and hope.
Humility.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God. Lord, thank you for giving us the opportunity, God, to help others to see Jesus. Lord, that's why we're on this planet, God. Lord, 2,000 years, God, and still the land. Still so many, Lord, that need to hear, that need to see, and need to meet you. And so I pray that you would use us, God. Use us in our homes. Use us as we go out, God. Or the Great Commission, as we are going, make disciples. So help us, Lord. Help us to be trees for so many people. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. There's a quick announcement. Apparently, Pastor Selamat made a lot more food than he thought. So if you remember, we had the Indonesian mission trip fundraiser. So if you didn't order yet, there's beef rendang, right? And there's some other dish in the back, some pork. And so you can actually buy some today, right? I think he made a lot, right? So enjoy. If anyone needs any prayer, you can come up to the front. Our women ministers will gladly pray for you. Have an awesome week this week.